This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is! Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Friday. It's an amazing Friday at Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we are all over the place tonight. Questions on everything under the sun. And in case you were wondering, there were Supreme Court decisions passed down today. The Trump immunity thing was not one of them, but there were a couple passed down. And I have Josh Hammer, an expert on all this stuff, joining us about a half hour from now to make you and me sound a whole lot smarter when we discuss them. So that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. We're digging into everything from, do I hate America? There's a dirty commie who thinks I hate America. Did FDR know about Pearl Harbor? Someone thinks maybe it's best for the country if Trump loses? What? We'll talk about his reasoning there. Are we all responsible, or is it just Democrats? All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin by some of this lovely mail. Why do you hate America? Our government is evil, you said. Are you a Putin-loving communist? You know, every now and then, people, they will say things that may not spark anything in you or me. We miss them all the time. I know I certainly do. But they say things now and then that are so revealing about who they are and how they think about everything. Here's an example. Politically, this is a great example. Have you ever heard a Democrat in your life say, they passed tax cuts that weren't paid for? Because when they're whining about Republicans cutting taxes, they passed tax cuts that weren't paid for. Sounds just like nothing, right? You could probably breeze past it, but pause for a moment and think about that. The tax cut allows me to keep more of my money. They weren't paid for, though. That's what you said. You said the tax cuts, me keeping more of my money, wasn't paid for. When you think about that with any depth at all, what does that actually say? That says that they view your money, all of it, as belonging to them. That they allow you to keep a portion of your money out of the goodness of their hearts. But in reality, all that money belongs to them. When you think about that statement, it's very revealing for how Democrats view you. A piece of tax cattle is what they view you as. Now let's go to emails like this. We get all kinds of emails like this from dirty commies all the time. You said the government is evil.
You hate America. You said the government is evil. You hate America. Okay, well, first, let's be clear. The government is evil. The United States of America now has an evil government on par with evil governments around the planet. They do. Look, this country intentionally brings in murders and rapists that are abusing our women, murdering us in this country. The government's bringing them in on purpose. Again, I want to stress, a children's hospital was illegally performing tranny surgeries on children. A doctor became a whistleblower to report on this, and the federal government sent their thugs from the Cheka, the FBI, to arrest him. They're going to throw him in a cage for the next 10 years. The government murdered 10 people in Afghanistan, and no one even got so much as a slap on the wrist. I know we don't care about them that much. It's a foreign country. We can't see them. That's six innocent babies. Six of those were children. Gone. The United States of America's government is evil. Period. But that statement, you said the government's evil, so you hate America. It actually reveals so much about you, about the communist who said it. I don't think America is the government. I think America is the people. That's what America is to me. It's not the government. If America was the government, I would hate my country. Frankly, I would leave my country. But America is not the government. America is the people. The government is like a cancer growing on our country. Our government is evil. And that you think that means I hate America reveals how you think about America. You think America is Congress? The White House? The Supreme Court? You think America is Washington, D.C.? These people are the most anti-American scumbags in the country. The government sucks. The people, about half of them, are wonderful. The other half of them suck too. But it reveals so much about you. And maybe you're curious why they used Putin so much. He's a Putin. You must love Putin. You're a Putin apologist. Putin. Let's talk about this. Why does your liberal Aunt Peggy talk about Putin so much? It's not because she has any problem with the way Vladimir Putin conducts himself. She'll pretend like she does, but Vladimir Putin arrests his political opponents. Well, that's what Democrats do. They do it all the time now in the country. It's way more than just Trump. They've been throwing January Sixers in cages forever. Democrats do that all the time. So that's not, she doesn't have a problem with that. Well, Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine. America invaded Iraq. I know, I was there. Why? There were no weapons of mass destruction. They didn't do 9/11. Why? So that's not why she has a problem with Putin. Why does the average American Democrat, why does liberal Aunt Peggy, why do they bring up Putin's name and associate him with you? And for them, they just hate him. Putin. And I don't like Putin at all, but I can tell you exactly why I don't like Putin. I don't like Putin, but why is he a thing for them? Let me tell you why. The American Democrat has long been communist adjacent. They're communists now. They just are. They're all communists now. But it's been decades with America's Democrat Party flirting with the commies. It's been this way. Look, if you read the Anti-Communist Manifesto, available at jessekellybook.com, you can read the whole history of this. There has always been an affinity with Democrats and dirty commies. There's a reason FDR, we're going to bring up FDR in a little bit. There's a reason he got rolled so bad by Stalin all the time. He allowed Stalin to take so much of Europe, which caused so much heartache after the fact. Why? Well, if you read any part of the books, he always kind of liked him. Nah, that Stalin guy. Why? Because FDR was half a dirty commie himself. That's why. Now, why the hatred for Putin, for Russia? Here's the truth. Democrats hate that the Soviet Union fell, and they've had an axe to grind with Russia ever since the Soviet Union fell. And your liberal Aunt Peggy won't know the history of that. Remember, she's an idiot. She's just a robot. The hive mind has told her, I hate Putin, you hate Putin, hate Putin, hate Russia, hate Putin, Trump is Putin, Republicans are Putin, Tea Party's Putin, Putin, Putin. She's been programmed, right? She doesn't know anything about the history of any of this stuff. But the people who do know, that's when that hatred started. That's when Democrats in America really got a hate on for Russia. Right about the time they stopped being communist. That's when Democrats started hating Russia. And you dirty commie piece of trash who emailed the show, Putin lover. You know, I just want to talk. I'm going to be nice. I just want to talk to you just really quickly. You know that you're a useful idiot, right? You know that the evil people who are destroying this country, that they use you because you're too stupid to see. And look, your stupidity, it might not be your fault. Maybe your parents were stupid and they passed along that stupidity to you. I mean, look, genetics is a real thing. Maybe that's it. But you understand that they use you. They're destroying the country. They've taken advantage of your stupidity. Yeah, Chris, go ahead and play it. Of course.
Same thing was done under the guidance of the Soviet embassy in Hanoi. And same thing I was doing in New Delhi. To my horror, I discovered that in the files where people were doomed to execution, there were names of pro-Soviet journalists with whom I was personally friendly.
Pro-Soviet?
Yes. They were idealistically minded leftists who made several visits to USSR. And yet, the KGB decided that come revolution or drastic changes in political structure of India, they will have to go.
Why is that?
Because they know too much. Simply because, you see, the useful idiots, the leftists who are idealistically believing in the beauty of Soviet socialist or communist or whatever system, when they get disillusioned, they become the worst enemies. That's why my KGB instructors specifically made the point, never bother with leftists. Forget about these political prostitutes. Aim higher. This was my instruction. Try to get into large circulation, established conservative media, rich, filthy rich movie makers, intellectuals, so-called academic circles, cynical, egocentric people who can look into your eyes with angelic expression and tell you a lie. These are the most recruitable people, people who lack moral principles, who are either too greedy or too suffer from self-importance. They feel that they matter a lot. These are the people who KGB wanted very much to recruit.
But to eliminate the others, to execute the others, don't they serve some purpose? Wouldn't they be the ones they rely on?
They serve purpose only at the stage of destabilization of a nation. For example, your leftists in the United States, all these professors and all these beautiful civil rights defenders, they are instrumental in the process of the subversion only to destabilize the nation. When their job is completed, they are not needed anymore. They know too much. Some of them, when they get disillusioned, when they see that Marxist-Lenin has come to power, obviously they get offended. They think that they will come to power. That will never happen, of course. They will be lined up against the wall and shot.
Just keep that in the mind. Keep that in mind, dirty commie, when you email me. I'm not the one you should be afraid of. Keep something else in mind. As we speak, people are under attack. Imagine what it would be like. Imagine dropping your child off at school, and you drop them off at school, and you drive away, and you're 10 minutes away, and you hear the alarms. You hear the sirens. Those sirens mean you have to get to a bunker because rockets are about to start raining down on you. You don't have time to get back to your child. All you can do is sit, hope, pray that your child got to a bunker in time too. That's amazing, isn't it? That's how people are living today in Israel. Do you realize that? That's the experience they have today. It's bad over there. It's really bad. Hezbollah, Hamas, just you name it. It's really, really bad. The International Coalition of Christians and Jews is over there doing things like building these bunkers so people can live. Giving people aid, food, medical care.
all they ask for is to sign a pledge. That's all they want, is you to sign a pledge. That's it. Supportifcj.org is where you go to sign it. Go sign it. We'll be back.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email us during the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Josh Hammer joins us about 10 minutes from now to talk about what happened at the Supreme Court today. Let's tackle some of that. And then, well, it'll be Ask Dr. Jesse a lot. Let's get into this one right here. Hey, Jesse, you always say whoever comes after Trump will be more hardcore than him. Do you think that applies to our kids, too? My son told me the other day, when he watches YouTube, a Minecraft video, he saw an ad for Joe Biden. He proudly told me his computer, he told his computer to shut up, and that's just communist garbage. He's 8. Do you think our kids will be what will make the change we need? Even though they won't have the United States we grew up in, they will be the ones more bold and willing to stand up and fight. Thanks for always being a program we can listen to as a family. Sometimes when we try to explain something to my son, he'll tell us, duh, Mom, I listen to Jesse Kelly. I already know this. Her name is Jen. Okay. Well, this is what I believe. And I don't know this, obviously. Maybe this is wishful thinking, but I believe the most hardcore ones who will actually make the changes that we need, the ones who have teeth, I believe they've already been born, and I believe they're children now. And I believe it kind of what, because of what Jen just said and what I see in my own life and what I hear from my friends and their kids. Here's what's happening right now. Society, you know, society's rotted. We don't have to go into that again. You get it. Our culture's rotted. It's really, really bad. It's eating up the women. That's the bad news. The bad news is it's eating up women and young girls. If you look at poll after poll after poll, ideologically, they're as communist and America hating as you could ever be, because a woman is simply more inclined for social acceptance than a man is. I know that's a generality. Don't email me. I'm not. You don't know me. Stop. I don't give a crap about that. Remember the saying, if it doesn't apply to you, don't apply it to you. So don't email me about how offended you are. I don't give a crap. In general, women are more inclined towards social acceptance. Now, how many wives out there? I know mine said it to me. Please don't embarrass me. Now, why she say that? Because I'm less inclined for social acceptance. I'm more inclined to do what I want, and even if it means something embarrassing. Who's it embarrassing to? Her, okay? So we're losing the girls. That's the bad news. The girls are going left. They're going left hard. The good news on the other side of that is the boys are going right, and they are going right at a staggering pace. Boys are more inclined to rebel, to reject authority, to reject whatever's being forced on them. That is more of a man thing than a woman thing. Because of that, this is me. You know how hardcore I am. I'm not exactly a shrinking violet. My kids will say things that make me go, ooh, maybe that's a little far. And it's not just my kids, because I know you're going to think, well, it's your kids. Yeah, no, I realize that I've influenced them. I do. It's their friends. They'll come home from school and say something their friends said. If their friends encounter something, some pride garbage, woo-wee, they use some rough language, let me tell you what. And this is not just in my home or in my town. This trend is happening nationally. The truth is, the losers we have now in Congress, Senate, all these guys, they're all just losers. They're not tough enough. They're not going to make it. They don't have what it takes to fight back the way you want them to, the way I want them to. That's the truth. There's a handful of them that are good. The rest are too weak, pathetic, and losers. But there's a generation coming. And a generation coming after that, and a generation coming after that. You pick the most hardcore person you can think of. Maybe it's a politician, or maybe it's me, or whoever. The people coming after me are going to make me look like an adorable little puppy dog. That's the truth. And maybe that's just wishful thinking. But when I hear from my sons and their friends, from the next generation,
the young men have had enough of this crap, and they're done with it. And that's a good thing. Put a smile on your face. All right, let's talk to Josh Hammer about Supreme Court stuff. Oh, she also finished the email off with, give Fred a pet for us. How does my dog get more attention from the entire country than any other dog? He owns everybody. If my mom visits, he owns her. She won't want to leave him. If my sister visits, can you send pictures of Fred? It doesn't matter who it is. Everyone loves this big fluffy idiot. I do too, to be honest with you. I'm embarrassed at my own personal conduct around the dog. There, I said it, okay? He turns me into an embarrassing person. The wife now regularly snaps pictures of me when I'm doing some snuggling with Fred, and it's embarrassing, and she threatens to post the pictures online, which is wrong. Anyway, we do give him rough greens because we love him so much. We want him to live a long time. He's such a part of the family. We want our dog to live a long time, and he doesn't get nutrition from dog food. Your dog doesn't get nutrition from dog food. Give your dog rough greens. Pour it on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement that actually gives your dog the vitamins and minerals and everything else it needs. Roughgreens.com/Jesse or call 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him. But he's right. Jesse Kelly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And as promised, the man himself is joining us to make sense of all these Supreme Court case decisions today. So-and-so versus so-and-so, so-and-so. There were a lot of people taking each other on today, apparently, at the Supreme Court. And Josh Hammer, host of America on Trial with Josh Hammer, joins me right now to discuss it. Okay, Josh. I don't even know where to begin. I don't know what half these names mean. So I'm just going to hand you the show. What happened today?
Jesse, it's always good to join you, my friend.
You too.
So, look, there were two opinions of political note, I guess you would say, today. We're still waiting on most of the big opinions. I mean, most of this term's marquee cases have not dropped yet. The Trump immunity case is the biggest of them all, of course. That will almost surely come this week. We're still waiting on the Fisher case, which is the case involving the J6ers. A lot of them are being prosecuted with this dubious 2002 law that has to do with corporate accounting. It's a very dubious use of the underlying statute there. So hopefully we'll get a good ruling on that, which, by the way, matters for Trump, too, actually, because that statute that the J6ers are being charged with is also the basis for two of Jack Smith's four indictments against Donald Trump, or two of his four charges in the Washington, D.C. case. And then we're waiting for a big administrative state case that pertains to what lawyers call so-called Chevron deference. We have an abortion case out of Idaho, some massive big tech cases out of Texas and Florida. So we're waiting on, honestly, most of the big cases. And I was hoping that we'd get even more today, to be honest with you. But the two cases that dropped today, because apparently next week is just going to be an absolute flurry of huge opinions. The two cases today that I think are worth pointing to, one is the immigration case called Department of State versus Munoz. The basic question here was whether or not a U.S. citizen has some sort of well-established historical and therefore constitutional right to have your non-citizen, aka your alien spouse, immigrate here. And the court very reasonably holds that you do not. So this was a 6-3 decision. It's split along quote-unquote ideological lines. That's how the media portrays these 6-3 opinions. Extraordinarily reasonable opinion. And by the way, the timing is a little odd, isn't it? How an opinion on basically the exact same subject drops a few days after President Joe Biden did that executive amnesty earlier this week, again, pertains to this exact same issue pertaining to the spouse, the illegal alien spouse of a U.S. citizen. So the timing is a little odd there. It makes you kind of wonder whether or not the president's kind of but perhaps maybe knew from a leaker, because we saw that this court can leak in the Dobbs case. Maybe there was a leaker leaking to the president that this opinion was coming. But in any event, a totally common sense ruling. The opinion that I suspect is going to be more controversial in our circles, Jesse, among conservatives, is the gun case, U.S. versus Rahimi. So this case comes out of the Fifth Circuit, which is the court that I clerked on myself 6 years ago. In fact, the judge who I clerked for, Judge Jim Ho, was actually on the Fifth Circuit panel that ruled on this case. So I've been tracking this case for a long time. So Rahimi is a case involving 18 U.S. Code Section 922G8, which is the federal statute that prohibits individuals with a domestic violence restraining order from possessing a firearm. And this is a case that comes in the context of the big Second Amendment case that we had 2 years ago, the Bruin case, where they basically announced a history and tradition test for gun regulation. What they said in Bruin was that for any firearm regulation to be proper in today's day and age, you have to essentially have a historical analog, meaning you can't just make it up. There has to be some basis historically for the regulation. And the Fifth Circuit last year ruled 3-0 on the panel that this statute was unconstitutional under that test. But the Supreme Court reversed in an 8-1 decision, pretty lopsided, to be honest with you. You had Clarence Thomas write a 32-page, pretty lengthy dissent, a solo dissent, basically saying that this is an incorrect application of Bruin because there's no historical law like this. I'll be honest with you, Jesse, I think it's a close call. I'm not entirely sure that the court got it wrong here. You have to understand that there is actually a long tradition in Anglo-American law for prohibiting violent people from getting guns. And while I'm obviously a huge gun guy, I carry my handgun basically everywhere I go. I own an AR-15 with lots of large mags. I'm a huge gun guy. You know, your rights obviously do only exist to a certain point. I mean, you don't have a Second Amendment right to launch a surface-to-air missile to take down an American Airlines flight, for instance, right? So I'm not convinced that the court got it wrong, but I think that it's a place where conservatives can probably reasonably disagree.
Okay, why can't I have a surface-to-air missile? I don't want to shoot down airplanes, but I feel like that's something I should be allowed to own. Why is that banned, Josh?
Well, look, I mean, if you're going to be a literalist on the Second Amendment, your right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I mean, if your approach to constitutional interpretation really is to take the words as literally as they mean, then I agree with you. But historically, Jesse, that's just not the way that we interpret individual rights. I mean, historically, we understand that individual rights necessarily exist only to a point, and that point is going to be debatable. It's going to be a case-by-case instance. But look, I mean, the legal stuff aside, just talking about the public policy here, Jesse, you're my good buddy. I've known you for many years. You obviously are a veteran. You served honorably overseas. I have no doubt that you would be perfectly safe with a surface-to-air missile. And let me, in fact, go on record on the Jesse Kelly Show and say that I would have no objections to my good friend Jesse Kelly owning a surface-to-air missile. But I think you probably have to wonder about whether or not it would be a good thing for the country if everyone out there, especially in today's day and age with the southern border being as open as it is, these terrorists flooding in from Tajikistan of all countries, I query whether or not it would be a good country, Jesse, if we allowed all these folks to be able to shoot down airplanes.
Yeah. Plus the jet fuel costs are outrageous. I've priced these things and I just don't think you could be able to afford to operate one, setting aside my surface to air missile. So can you explain to us just real briefly, Josh, why didn't we get the big ones today? We were told that the Trump immunity case and all this stuff was going to drop on us today. It didn't drop. I know it's kind of a nitty-gritty nerd question, but I'm sitting there staring at my phone, watching the news all day. We've all been waiting. Nothing happens. Why?
Yeah, no, Jesse, I was actually filling in. I was guest hosting a radio show myself this morning, and I was constantly refreshing my Twitter feed as well to try to see if it was dropping while I was live on air. I don't have a good answer. I mean, no one knows the answer to this other than the justices and maybe their own law clerks themselves. But, I mean, they have a flair for the dramatic. You know, we've seen time and time again how they love to save their highest opinions for the very end. This is admittedly doubling down on that. I mean, we have a ton, a lot of really juicy, high-profile opinions left. This coming week is going to be absolutely crazy. I don't know. I mean, some people might speculate that they've been a little distracted by all of these left-wing attacks on the court involving Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito. That's possible, but I think that it's probably a little more simpler than that. They're just saving the big stuff until the very, very end. They want to go right off into the summer sunset on a dramatic note, it seems.
Josh Hammer, my friend, that is exactly what we needed. Thank you. I appreciate you very much, brother.
Anytime.
He's the host of America on Trial with Josh Hammer. All right. You know, I think a small battery of surface-to-air missiles is reasonable. A small battery. I didn't say I wanted 100 of them. I don't need 100. Yeah, 10. That's a good point, Chris. 10. 10 is not unreasonable at all. Oh, Jesse, why would you need that? I don't know. What if I do need it one day? You know, there's a lot of very bad people out there who have airplanes. They use those airplanes. They use jets to do bad things. I don't think a surface-to-air missile is unreasonable. I want a machine gun nest. I want many, many, many things. And I feel like we should have a GOP that would fight for those things. But hey, that's just me. And you know what? I want a bunker. And it's going to be a nuclear bunker. I'm going to buy one of those ones in Kansas if I hit the lottery one day. Because they're like $600,000. They have the nuclear bunkers. And you know what I'm going to do? First thing, I'm going to put all my Patriot Supply emergency food stuff down in the nuclear bunker. And I have so much of that. Why? Because they're constantly giving discounts. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of Americans with an emergency food kit. They have all kinds. Right now, they have a four-week food kit, $50 off. You need non-perishable food in your home. Need it. These people, the people who run the planet, are attacking the food supply. They brag about attacking the food supply really all the time now. Have you seen beef prices? You know those are getting worse. We are in a different era now. Get an emergency food kit and put it in my bunker and I will watch over it. Just let me know when you get your hands on it. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com. That gets you $50 off. All right. Preparewithjessekelly.com. Okay, that's enough of that. Now, did FDR know that Pearl Harbor was about to be attacked? Now that's a spicy ass Dr. Jesse question. We'll get to that next.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. There's so much to get to, but I have to get to this doozy before we dig into this. There's a lot of political talk, but this is an interesting one. Hi, Jesse. Is it true that FDR knew that Japan was going to attack Pearl Harbor? If so, Why did he allow that to happen, knowing there would be a terrible loss of American lives and great damage to our military? Did he believe that that would ensure our entry into World War II? Okay. Let's talk about this. First, this is not a disclaimer. I just kind of want to spoil at least my own personal thoughts on it. I've read a lot on this. A lot on this. Pearl Harbor, different perspectives, FDR, all this stuff. It does not make me some kind of an expert. I don't know more than you. I've just read a lot. All right. Because I've dug into it. I do not believe FDR intentionally put our aircraft carriers out to sea on doing maneuvers on the day they were attacking Pearl Harbor, on the day the Japanese were attacking Pearl Harbor, because that's where that I don't even want to call it a conspiracy theory, because so many of those end up coming true. That's the theory. They attacked Pearl Harbor. The Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. FDR knew they were going to do it. So he took the aircraft carriers and pulled them out into the ocean because they were the most important thing. And he allowed the Pearl Harbor attack to commence because he wanted to get us into World War II, but he wanted our aircraft carriers to be safe. That is really the theory behind it. Let me just again state, I don't believe that. From everything I've read, I don't believe that. I think it would be very, very difficult to cover that up because of how many different layers between FDR and the boats themselves there are. That's a lot of people that would have to be in on that. However, let's do discuss this from kind of an alternate angle. You said, why did he allow it to happen knowing there would be a terrible loss of American lives and great damage to our military? What I'm about to say is not just about communists, although it definitely applies to them. What I'm about to say, it's about leaders of men, historically. Leaders of men, leaders of nations, leaders of empires, historically, they rapidly develop a God complex. After all, I'll never be there. You'll probably never be there, but imagine having command of a powerful army. Imagine that. The treasury is yours. You live in a palace. You have servants. You can do whatever you want. It would get to your head, wouldn't it? The danger is that it gets to your head. And powerful men have marched hordes of young men off to die for virtually nothing. Time and time again, historically. Look, honestly, let's look at modern day. You know, I don't talk a lot of Russia, Ukraine, Putin, we're fighting democracy. I don't talk about that, but let's talk about Vladimir Putin. You have any idea how many Russians have died? Those are his own citizens. He decided he wanted a portion of Ukraine. He invaded Ukraine, and now, what, 100,000? 200,000? We're never going to know the number. Everyone lies, but they'll just make it 100 and make it easy. 100,000 young men gone. A football stadium, one of the big ones, gone. Fill it up with a nation's young men, gone. Just because he wanted it. Because he wanted Ukraine. In America, before World War II, there was World War I. Americans used to have the correct view of foreign policy. Remember, the foreign policy of America from the founding of America all the way up to the middle of the 20th century was non-intervention. We don't get involved. Whatever's going on, we don't get involved. Oh, you've got a war going? Let me know how it goes. We'll trade with some goods if you pay for them. We're not getting involved. That was America's founding policy, and it was the universal, get this, universal foreign policy of Americans. How universal? We have poll numbers from back in the day, even in World War II, but including World War I, 97-98% of Americans said, not our problem, keep us out of it. Name a single issue today where you'd get 98% of Americans agreeing. 98% of the country didn't want us involved in World War I, but we were led by a very, very, very evil man named Woodrow Wilson. And Woodrow Wilson was dying to get us involved in World War I. After all, he wasn't the one that was going to get shot. He was an emperor. He was a king. This powerful empire. People are fighting. I want some of our boys to go fight. Look at me. I'm Julius Caesar. I'm Alexander the Great. This is how these people see themselves. And so Woodrow Wilson bent over backwards to agitate as much as humanly possible. And then, boom, we end up in World War I. When it comes to World War II, FDR wanted to send American troops in about half a second after Hitler started invading everything. FDR had the worst God complex of any president ever. It was awful how that human being saw himself. If you read anything he wrote, even before he was president, he just saw himself as a king, as being above other people. That's how he saw himself. But FDR knew the American people wouldn't like that. And so, no, I don't believe he knew. But if you're going to sit here and tell me I believe he did know, I'm not going to call you an idiot. I'm not going to call you a conspiracy theorist. The truth is, these guys, they're going to do it right now. They're doing it as we speak. They will agitate and agitate and agitate and create a situation to get the American public on their side so they can go to war. They love war because their sons never die in them. That's why they love war. That's the truth. All right, let's move on. There's a lot of political talk. A couple Trump questions here. Those will be spicy. We'll open up next hour with that. Let's also talk about chalk. Let's talk about focus and mood. You know what? Let's focus on that for a moment. Guys, I see all the numbers now about depression in men. Men are down. Men are depressed. I'm down. Why are men so sad? Why are men? How many articles have you read like that? We talked about it on the show. One of the main drivers in that is your testosterone levels. You need testosterone. You need it. It affects your mood, your focus, your entire life. Chalk sells natural herbal supplements. They have endless natural herbal supplements. You name it, they have it. Chalk lit powder for the morning. They have Chad mode pre-workout, female vitality stacks, and they have male vitality stacks. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. 20% in 90 days. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Get you a huge discount on subscriptions for life, or you can call them 50-CHOQ-3000. We'll be back.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.